This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Zippy Duvall, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with AFBF's Zippy Duvall next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's crop insurance industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net, providing individualized protection on more than 560 million acres of farmland. Crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. The overall health of the farm economy remains a top concern for commodity organizations and leaders on Capitol Hill. Zippy Duvall, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, will have the opportunity to share the challenges farmers and ranchers are facing at the group's 107th annual meeting in Anaheim. Duvall says today's challenges rival the headwinds agriculture faced in the 1980s.
And I know a lot of men and women out there like me of that age that farmed through the 80s realizes that we were farming with tremendously high interest rates. And even though interest rates are high right now, they are a lot lower than what they were during the 80s. And the only other difference is our land values have held up where they plummeted in the 80s. So, but it is a bad time because input costs are real high. Our commodity prices are real low. We're in a tariff, a trade war, and we're losing markets overseas. You know, the president's working hard to put some trade deals together, and we have some frameworks out there, but we really need to get some fair trade and enforceable rules and get them locked in so we can have some certainty for the future.
As you wrapped up 2025, you had elected Farm Bureau leaders from across the country in Washington to look over the many resolutions that had been offered from the grassroots level to the national. What was the attitude of those individuals as you gathered?
Well, you know, when farmers get in a bad way, you know, we kind of escalate and kind of run off of adrenaline and try to find ways to help and make things better. And, you know, and then we have that seed of optimism that's buried in our souls that we continue to look forward to the future. So I think when they came into Washington, even though they knew the people they were representing was in a bad way, they were ready to work on policy and get to work and get national convention over so we can continue to work on the Hill on some of the things that we need them to continue to do and get done. We're looking forward to discussions around several issues, a lot of issues, and who knows what their policy will be. Of course, I won't get out in front of policymaking by organization because that's the job of the farmers, but I know that there's going to be a lot of interesting discussions during the annual meeting.
There have been a number of Farm Bureau meetings that have taken place where you have been looking for a new farm bill. And H.R. 1, the budget reconciliation, provided a lot of policy that was needed, but not a complete farm bill. Do you anticipate you'll be talking about the need for Washington to act on the rest of farm bill policy?
We most certainly will. We'll be reaching out with them because, you know, those areas like rural broadband has got to be touched on. We've got to strengthen our research and extension programs. We need to make sure the research and funding is there to collect data on specialty crops so that future programs can be developed around that data. And then we need to protect some interstate commerce that happens to put a risk to our farmers and ranchers. And, of course, year-round E15 is important to our farmers to be able to help use some of this corn and get the price stabilized.
So the administration has come up with $11 billion for the majority of row crops. $1 billion set aside for specialty crops, those payments aren't going to come immediately. It'll be into February, most likely, before farmers receive those dollars. Is that soon enough, and is that amount of money adequate?
First off, I want to express a gratitude to the president's administration to doing what they're going to do in this tax bridge payment. $12 billion, you know, to the regular person, regular consumer, sounds like a tremendous amount of money. But when you look at the breadth of American agriculture across the country, it doesn't come close to what our farmers have actually lost over the last 4 or 5 years. But it will help tie some of our families over, get them to the next crop, put them on a little bit stable ground, and it will be a help. But we're going to continue to work with Congress to find other resources for our farmers, because we think it's going to take that to get us to the provisions that were put forth in the One Big Beautiful Bill that actually brought some reforms to Title I programs and crop insurance and that huge and wonderful investment that One Big Beautiful Bill made in agriculture. But it won't take effect until 26, and it needs to be a bridge payment there. We are concerned about that $12 billion. Only $1 billion of it is going to specialty crops, and it doesn't even come close to touching the losses that we've seen in specialty crops. So we know that we got to find some additional funds.
House Agriculture Committee Chair Glenn Thompson suggested that it was his idea to come up with some additional funds, but those wouldn't come until after the administration's plan had been completed. Will Farm Bureau delegates be talking about that amount of money as you move through your convention?
I think during the business session we'll be talking about funding coming forth. I don't know how in depth the discussions will be, but I promise you in the hallways and around dinner tables there's going to be a lot of conversation about the need and how we can move forward to get some additional resources.
You have the Big Four coming to your event there in Anaheim on the Sunday. The ranking members, Klobuchar and Craig, the chairman, Bozeman, and Thompson will all be at your meeting and all on the stage at the same time. What do you hope to hear from them?
Well, we want to hear, you know, what their perspective is for the future of American agriculture. Really and truly, you know, this is a time when we have to redefine what we want American agriculture to look like and what role the government will play in agriculture in the future and all the rules and regulations that we face. So I think we're going to have a really great conversation. We're very grateful that all four corners has agreed to come and sit at a fireside chat with me on stage. And I think it's going to be an exciting time for our farmers and ranchers to be able to hear what these four leaders, and we're very fortunate to have these four individuals in the seats that they're in. They all four love agriculture. They all four want to work hard for farmers and ranchers, and I think it's going to be exciting for them to share their ideas with them.
Now is a time when producers are trying to secure operating loans for the coming year. Not having all of that farm bill done leaves out some elements that would have raised loan limits, and that change, could it make a difference if it was done for some producers that are looking for security moving forward?
The lending limits are too low compared to what it costs to get into business. The machinery that we're buying, whether it be the cost of the metal that the machinery's been built out of, or whether it's tariff that's been put on that metal, or whatever it might be, all those costs are making it more and more difficult. So those limits are way too low, and we need to make sure that they're at a level that's acceptable this day and time, that recognizes the cost of what it costs to be in business and stay in business, and also to help bring young people to the industry.
You have excellent representation as well coming from the Department of Agriculture. Deputy Secretary Vaden will be there, as well as Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins. What do you hope to hear from the administration?
We hope to hear them continue their commitment, verbally said that they were going to have for American agriculture. We want to see how they're going to move forward in the trade arena and what they might be expecting to lock down in treaties that have enforceable regulations in those treaties so that we can bring solutions to the problems that we always have during trade dealings. So what is their view of the future of agriculture, and what role does it play in the other parts of this administration and other goals that this administration have? Because what we see is we're all looking for a way to be able to be more affordable, whether it be in food or the other things that we buy. And how does that weigh out with trade and tariffs, and how do we move forward to make sure that becomes a reality to present a win for the American people, for the farmer, and for the president?
Farm Bureau spent time talking about labor. Did you draw conclusions from your discussion that you're impressing upon, and that you feel like there's a way Congress could address the labor situation without having to rewrite the immigration issue overall?
Yeah, we've been having those conversations really for decades, but it's really heated up during this administration. We've had the opportunity to talk about that, not only with Capitol Hill, but I had the opportunity to talk to the president about the situation that lies within agriculture around labor. And he understands that because it's somewhat like some of the industries he's been involved in, like the hotel motel situation, and they have some of the same problems that we do, along with construction and many other small businesses across America. So we are moving forward with working with certain members of Congress, trying to develop what that new program would look like. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion about picking up pieces of some of the old proposals that's out there, and we're okay with that, but we are certain areas, some of those other proposals that are not acceptable and will make it unworkable for our farmers. We need something that fits every farmer, regardless of what he's growing, how big he is or what he's growing. If a farmer's out there taking the risk to produce for this country, its country's food needs, we ought to be able to get the labor to be able to do it with and have a program that we all can afford and work through this, that is good for the employee and good for the farmer so he can sustain his businesses and those jobs.
From the Farm Bureau perspective, is there an imminent need to resolve Proposition 12 from California? And what happens if you don't resolve it this year?
Yeah, it's one of the high priorities that we have. Because it, along with several other issues that we're facing, being some of the state legislatures are paying attention. They're moving forward with a patchwork of laws all across this nation to deal with not just Prop 12, but other issues. And that is very difficult for commerce. It's very difficult for our farmers. And it's going to make the marketplace unworkable in a lot of areas. So any issue like this have a national solution to it, and we're working really hard with Congress right now to find a place to solve it.
You have a similar situation with regard to pesticide labeling. States have come up with their own ideas for what should be on the label that violates what the FIFRA laws and what the EPA has in place. It's another one of those issues that could create a patchwork of rules that would be nearly impossible to follow.
That's exactly right, and it makes it even more difficult for our farmers to be able to find those products they really need to be able to run their operations. So not only those companies, but the farmers too. And then, of course, the long-term effect of that is the effect that a company might not move a product forward because of the difficulty. Restricting the ability for our farmers and ranchers to have that open market with products that they buy and sell, always comes down to costing the consumer more or less. And we need to make sure that the environment helps us be more sufficient, and more economically sound.
President Deval, toward the end of 2025, I listened to Iowa Senator Charles Grassley, who suggested and lamented again the need for E15, just as you suggested a couple minutes ago. But he also said that there was work that needed to be done by the administration from EPA with regard to RVOs and certainly SREs, and from the Treasury Department coming up with elements of tax implications as it pertains to 45Z and others toward renewable fuels. Is there a call on the administration to follow through on these things that could lead to demand opportunities for U.S. crops?
Yes, I think there is a call for that to be done, and I think they're going to work in that direction. But I think one of the things that really needs to be noticed is companies around the oil companies, organizations that represent renewable fuels, and the organizations that represent farmers like ourselves have come to agreement of what it might look like to make E15 year-round. And we have that agreement. We're all united in going to Congress and getting it done. We feel like we're going to use up another 2.4 billion bushels of corn, and that would be a tremendous help to the corn producer by taking some of that stock out of the bins and utilizing it for renewable.
So in 2026, USMCA is set for review, and the USTR has already held some hearings on that and accepting comments. What's Farm Bureau's thought on USMCA, and are there elements of it that you will debate or would like to see improved?
Well, USMCA has been a real important trade deal for farmers and ranchers because it deals with our neighbor north and our neighbors to the south, who are the two biggest trading partners we have in the whole world. So that alone makes it really important. Now, there are certain areas like seasonal production of crops being affected by products coming in. Got some issues around dairy with Canada, but most of our issues, they know what they are. We're talking about them. Hopefully we can find some solutions to it. But we need enforceable rules and regulations in the FDA that will solve issues and problems that come up during the working of those solutions in a very quick manner, not drag on for years. Those are the things we want to continue to. Really and truly, we don't want to do any harm to it because it has been a good trade deal for our farmers and ranchers.
President Duvall, the Farm Bureau has spent a long time calling for a new farm bill, but you've spent an even longer period of time looking for a resolution for which land is actually included under the waters of the U.S. There has been a new definition offered. There have been comments that are offered. Do you feel like you're close to a conclusion on this matter?
Yeah, you know, our farmers depend on having clear rules so that they can provide that clear water and protect the natural resources across our country. And we think that the new rule that they have come out with really is close to being back to what we need. I know there's some people that's still debating it, but we think this really comes within what the Congress intended for it to do, and we think it falls within the decisions that the Supreme Court made back a couple of years ago and bring it to a point to where our farmers can interpret the rule and actually implement it on the ground.
President Duvall, of all the commodities, it might be suggested that the cattle side of the business has been faring better than most others, although certainly dependent on trade. But the border between the U.S. and Mexico is closed because of the New World screwworm. And the issue at hand is it's creating challenges that the border is closed, but there's also consequences if we open that border too soon. How will Farm Bureau talk about this issue with the secretary, with the USDA?
Well, first off, we want to know how far they have moved forward in getting that new facility built on the American side, and what kind of conversations are we having with the Mexicans, and are the Mexicans doing their part in helping us protect the cow herd? It is vitally important for us to get control of that. It could be devastating. Farmers and ranchers that are in the beef business, and it'd be devastating to our packers, devastating to our feeders who are feeding our animals out. So we got to make sure that we would protect this and continue to do the right things. But we're anxious to hear what the secretary got to say about how fast they're moving forward and what they're how they think they're going to be able to slow it down or stop it from coming up any further across the border. You look at beef prices, and a lot of people want to blame it on a lot of different things, but it's the size of the herd, and I know everybody's heard that, but as many things as cause the size of the herd to shrink, including shutting the border down because of screwworm, but it's also because of the drought we've experienced in the past and our aging farmers and ranchers, and who wants to continue to do it under the prices that we were receiving several years ago. And this is a cycle. We'll see the cow herd start growing back. It will come back naturally. I'm in the beef business myself. Of course, prices have been good, and I haven't kept a heifer to replace any cattle on my place for 3 years. But I'm at a point now where in 2026, I'll have to hold back 20% of my calf heifer crop to be able to replace some animals that I have removed over the years. It is a natural cycle that will eventually happen, and we need to do the things that we need to do around rules and regulations and availability of credit and availability of land so that we'll encourage people to grow their herds or get into the business. We've got a tremendous amount of young people out there that's just biting at the bits to come into agriculture, and I'm sure a lot of them are looking at the beef here because of what the prices are right now to make that one of their opportunities, and we need to make that available to them to be able to bring that herd back.
Does Farm Bureau have a position on the Department of Justice, the investigation into why input prices are as high as they are?
Yes, we've encouraged them to continue to look at why prices are, and we support any investigation into the pricing structures of the major agricultural inputs. I know that some of that work's already been done. But we need a thorough look at that and make sure that things are being done properly and undue costs aren't being passed on to farmers and ranchers for whatever reason that might be. To find fair and trade deals, to find more support for biofuels with the year-round E15, to protecting interstate commerce, to promoting whole milk in our schools, and for goodness sake, if we're going to feed our kids in our schools and we're going to feed our army and our military men, let's do it with American-grown products. And those are the things we're focused on pushing forward that the administration can do right now that will affect our future.
Well, President Duvall, you're preparing for the annual gathering of the largest general farm organization in the country. Are there thoughts that you would have in closing and in your invitation to come to California?
Our convention is so important to the work that we do at American Farm Bureau. It gives us that final roadmap of the policy that we're going to be using all year long on Capitol Hill and with this administration and across our great country. And that's important. That's the main part of our business, of our 107th conference coming up. But there's going to be so many breakout sessions that's going to be dealing with from labor to mental health to farm programs to whatever you might think of. There'll be many, many breakout sessions that you could attend and actually learn something from it, take it home with you. And then our great speakers that will come in just to have the four corners of the of both agriculture committees. It just shows a commitment to these great leaders that we have in Congress of their commitment to agriculture, agreeing to be at our convention, sitting at the same, on the same stage and having that meaningful conversation. The Secretary of Agriculture being as important. And then of course, I want everybody to know that our guest speaker this year is going to be Tim Tebow, who is a Heisman Trophy winner and pro football player. We all know he played for the Florida Gators down there. I had the opportunity to speak to him. He's excited about coming and talking to us. And his life and his work really entails a lot of what our Farm Bureau believes in. And that's country, family, faith, and all the things that we as farmers hold dear to our heart. And I just think he's going to be a tremendous speaker and will motivate our people to take on any challenge, because we know if we look to the Lord, he'll give us the strength and the ability to make it through those challenges and be stronger on the other side. And agriculture has always been blessed by the Lord.
Our thanks to Zippy Duvall, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nally.